Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He was an intelligent man, a beautiful mind. He loved doctrine, and he knew it better than you did. He cared for his mother and his brothers. He never married, except to the church. By now, you may have figured out that I'm not talking about Richard Haynes. I'm talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this service tonight really ultimately is all about. In the end, it's really always and still all about Jesus. As it said in Hebrews this past Sunday in church, let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, therefore Richard's faith. Or from the book of Romans, where it says, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Still, we need to talk some about Richard too. For who wouldn't agree that after God created Richard that he broke the mold? We can and should talk about Richard, but we should respect what Richard would have wanted. Oh no, Pastor. It's not about me, Pastor. The Bible warns of a self-righteousness of putting yourself at the center of everything. Jesus alone is the righteous one, and we are all beggars. We should always put Jesus at the center. Richard knew and liked to talk about what Jesus did for him, because Richard knew that he was a sinner. And no matter how well you thought of Richard, no matter how intelligent or great or wonderful you thought of Richard, he'd say, it doesn't matter. If anything, I'm glad I fooled you, humanly speaking. But look closer to what I say now, he'd say, and not what you think or see, but what God sees. That's what matters. God knows that deep within Richard Haynes was nothing but sin and selfishness and pride and lust and licentiousness. But also within Richard was faith. Pure, cleansing, wonderful, strong faith. Faith not in what Richard did for God, but what God did for Richard. Listen to one stanza from Richard's hymn that he wrote himself. It's called A Salvation Story. This is one of the stanzas. Jesus! Exclamation point. Incarnate indeed, filling mankind's greatest need, baptized as Redeemer's kin, keeping holy law for men, quelling all law, quelling always Satan's strife, words of spirit and of life. Final act that would suffice, pain, blood, guilt's awful price. All poetry aside, Richard knew that Jesus came and died for sinners. And Richard was one of those sinners for whom Jesus died for. And if you didn't know that about Richard, then you didn't know Richard the way Richard knew Richard. Jesus made Richard a theologian. Richard liked to plumb the depths of that salvation won for him on the cross. Theology was the topic that most excited Richard. Every nook and cranny was important to him. He wasn't afraid to read up on what old and dead theologians had to say. And he seemed to be very aware of what the new theologians and the pastors and the professors at the seminary also had to say. And he would critique them as an equal. Nothing was too high and lofty, and he wouldn't somehow relate it to baling hail or birthing a cow or splitting atoms and fusing them back together again. I was half shocked after being installed as pastor at First Lutheran Church and School to meet Richard and discover this unseemly fellow who knows not only the Bible, but theological terms like the Genus Majestaticum. He knew it better than I did. And then out to his unseeming farm, living with Ma and John and Joe, loaded there in his bookshelves are Luther and Calvin and some Pieper and some Just. And I said, "Whoa, who is this that comes from Seymour?" Richard was living proof that you can't always trust what your eye sees and presume to know about another human being. There's a lot more to Richard than meets the eye. If you took time to listen to him, and I know it was sometimes hard to listen to him because he couldn't stop talking. But right now, I'd rather have Richard here cornering me for an hour after church or taking up a few extra minutes of an elders' meeting than to not have him here at all. Because Richard had a heart and a love for Jesus and God's Word. And you can't say that about every Joe, Dick, and Harry. Would that we all would take the time to get to know Jesus and His Word better. We'd all be better men and women for it, wouldn't we? And just maybe, others will see Jesus better because He dwells so richly, get it, in you. The gospel reading for tonight that Pastor Buescher read was the death of Jesus according to St. John, the 19th chapter, where Jesus told John, the disciple whom he loved, to care for his mother Mary as he was dying and carrying his own cross there. And here we hear him say, "Woman," he said to Mary, "behold your son," and to John, "behold your mother." One thing the church is supposed to do is care for others, even when it's not convenient, and even if it's not your own blood relative. John took Mary into his own home from then on. From that hour, it said, he cared for her. Christians are made family by the death and blood of Jesus. The same death and blood made Richard family to all of us, even as he cared for his mother, Evelyn, who is still with us, and we must now care and pray for her, especially you, Joe and John. Richard is no longer here to minister to his mom in body and soul, to tell her things that she can no longer read in the Bible but are still true for her. One of the greatest things Richard loved to tell his mom was the best word he ever learned in Greek. And it's in our text tonight, very fittingly. It was the last word that Jesus spoke from the cross before bowing his head and giving up his spirit. Richard, I know you know Pastor Buescher would whisper this word in every Bible study and every sermon whenever this text was read. In English, "It is finished." And Richard would smile with his wily smile as if to say, "I know that word." English doesn't do it justice. Greek says it better. "Tetelestai," Richard would say. What does it mean? What's finished? Not just the suffering of Jesus on Good Friday. No. But the whole law of God is completed. The work of the gospel is done. Everything the law and the prophets foretold has come to pass. Jesus is the God made flesh for us and for our salvation, who came down from heaven for us. He paid sin's price to buy us back and paid it in full. No need for any further investment from you. No need for anything. This one is done. It's in the bag. The devil and his chances have failed. For it is finished. Tetelestai. It's all done. Therefore, our souls rest in peace. When death and devil come knocking, we can say, "Hey, devil, tetelestai. Sorry, bucko. The deed is done." Death no longer has dominion over this flesh and spirit. My soul, my body, lay in Christ Jesus, his death. Don't believe it in my language, then listen to it in Greek. Tetelestai. That was what Jesus said. And haven't you heard? This same Jesus, who was dead, is alive forever. Listen once more to Richard's hymn, verse 9. Resting in the darkest gloom, bursting from the rock-sealed tomb, holy ones say, "Do not fear, Christ is risen, he is not here. All thy foes, cowering in fear, at thy voice calm and clear, sovereign God, eternal head, life now lives and death is dead." Kuya, Richard, tetelestai. Tell his mom, she's already heard it. Tell her again. Because of Christ alone, Richard is alive in Christ Jesus forever. Back in February of this year, a different elder from our church passed away, Will Abraham. Richard knew Will well. There's a big difference, however, in the way they passed, of course. We thought Will was going to die. He was really sick. He went to the hospital. They took him off the breathing apparatus. We prayed. We said our goodbyes. Didn't know if he could hear us or not. And all of a sudden, Will opens his eyes. Family all got to gather around, and everybody got to say their goodbye. It was a touching, beautiful night, which turned out to be a whole week, saying goodbye day after day. You have to bring him communion again. You have to pray together with Will. Remind Will that you're baptized, Will. God loves you, Will. Jesus is with you. He's for you. He's fought the fight. Tetelestai. It's finished on the cross. Got to tell him all those things again. Had a whole week to do it. Friends and family from church came and visited him. It was beautiful. Long-lost grandchildren called in and talked to him. It was amazing. Contrast that to Richard's passing. Quick, done. The Bible knows of both kinds of passing, the sudden and the slow. The good news is that Christ redeemed both. It doesn't matter, Richard would say. It doesn't matter if it was slow or fast. It matters that Christ has done it all along the way for you, from your baptism onward and giving you communion onward. It's the whole life of hearing and receiving that gospel that matters. But I suppose because of the speed that he did pass, many of us will think back and think, well, when was the last time I saw Richard? What did he say? I know we could spend all night probably sharing those memories and times. This past Sunday, however, the Sunday before, he was supposed to serve with us this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that, when he was here, he came through the line after the service like he normally did, and Richard had a box of Milk Duds in his hand, and he said, "Here you go, Pastor," and he liked to share with his pastors and all things, so he poured a bunch of Milk Duds in my hand, and I got one Milk Dud in, and I ate it, and then Richard stood there and proceeded to eat all the other Milk Duds out of my hand. And he was not embarrassed by this at all. He just looked at me and kind of laughed and said, "What kind of fool are you not to hurry up and eat your Milk Duds? I gave you a gift, Pastor. Why did you not use it? Well, you still had time, Pastor. Who knows how long you'll have? Not just to eat Milk Duds. Here today. Gone tomorrow. One day Richard is with you, doctrinally critiquing your sermon. Still behind you in church singing out. Speaking up in Bible study. Calling you on the phone, eating lunch with you after church. coming to visit. And the next day, Richard is no more. Life is but a breath. But thanks be to God, who gave Richard life and breath, and gave him the gift of the Holy Spirit, and gave Richard not just milk duds, but body and blood, bread and wine for the forgiveness of all his sins, so that he could proclaim Jesus' death until he comes again. Oh, what a day that will be. He was an intelligent man, a beautiful mind. He loved doctrine and he knew it better than you did. He cared for his mother and his brothers. He never married except to the church. I'm talking about Jesus. Because now if you want to find Richard, you'll find him in Christ Jesus. In his holy, precious, beloved name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.